It's time to talk health and fitness. Gordon Lynch is our man, the director of the Centre of Muscle Research at Melbourne University. And this morning we're talking about the importance of leg strength. So that's our discussion point. But really, you can ask Gordon any questions about health and fitness that you want. 1-300-800-222 is the number to call, or the text number 0437-774-774. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Pav.
How's everything with you? All right?
All ready to go for my leg strength today.
Good to hear. Look, yes. It's something we don't think about that often, really. We just sort of take it for granted that we're walking around on these legs all day. And but it's such an important thing, and you notice it when you haven't got them, the strength in your legs.
I think you're exactly right. You know, whether, you know, you're walking, you could be running if you can. You could be playing tennis. You could be carrying the groceries. I mean, climbing stairs. As you say, we do take it for granted, and we do need strong legs to do all those activities. And, you know, if you take it to the other level, you know, success in most sports is always about, you know, their ability to move quickly, power, strength, all those things, and it's about leg strength. So the legs, you know, they're the largest muscle groups. They support you, you know, they'll help you keep you moving. But it also means performing tasks more easily, because as we get older, you start to lose muscle, you start to lose range of motion and flexibility. And it could be because of, you know, decreased activity or joint disorders and so on. But if we're losing muscle mass as we get older, that's the reason why we can have sudden falls. It means it can result in fractures. So leg strength is really important for maintaining balance. So I'm putting a sort of a checklist together to say, well, why should we do this? And it's just essential for most activities. But to keep our legs strong, I think we need to do more than just walk. And we talk a lot about strength training on this show. It doesn't have to be about lifting weights per se. It can use your body weight as resistance as well. But it's really thinking about consistent training to strengthen the foundation. And that can happen at any age. So it's never too late to start. Yeah. I really want to emphasize that. And we can get going on it.
One of the things, to highlight just how important it is and how important our muscles can lose condition is, if you've ever been in hospital for a couple of days and you've been off your feet for a couple of days, that moment when you get back on your feet after you get out of bed, a little bit wonky, a little bit wobbly, you can really feel the lack of power, lack of strength in your legs. And it doesn't take long, does it?
No, it doesn't. And In the worst case scenario, if people go into hospital and maybe they're in intensive care and so on, it's a really sensitive period for muscle because it's associated with a lot of inflammation and so on, and that can do long-lasting damage to muscle. And that's what we want to avoid at all costs. And people are doing a lot of work trying to protect muscles when we go to hospital, and that is trying to keep exercises if we can, just to keep muscles loaded, because as you say, when you're off your feet, that's when, you know, the muscle says, hang on, where's that signal to keep me upright? And gravity has a major effect on keeping muscles strong, so it's really important that we do that. Just make sure, Pav, as we always say, check with your GP or your medical specialist that exercise is right for you, what sort of exercises. And we're focusing on legs this morning, but it doesn't necessarily have to mean bigger muscles. I mean, training can be tailored to personal goals. Even if we work muscles really hard, you know, they only tend to grow when we force them to work against progressively heavier loads. And that principle is really important. I'd like people to incorporate that, of course, but not everyone chooses to lift heavier and heavier loads. That's not what we're about. We're just about making sure we've got better functionality. We're going through life tasks with better ease. And that requires a bit of investment of our time to strengthen those muscles.
It's funny too, because you think of legs, they really do come in all shapes and sizes, don't they? You think of those people with big, thick, nice calf muscles, and then you got other people with skinny little sticks, and then you got other people with big, chunky, you know, thighs, big, chunky legs. So when you talk legs, we're really talking individual things that people have that are very different from one another.
There is variability. You know, we talk about muscle bellies and long tendons or short tendons, but essentially our thigh muscles, there's four muscles at the front of the thigh, that's, you know, the quad muscles, and at the back of the legs, the hamstring muscles at the back of the thigh, our glutes, you think of the backside, that's the largest muscles there, really important for developing leg strength. And so we need to work the glutes as well. And for the lower legs, which is often neglected, and this was from a question from one of our listeners last week, how do we improve our calf muscles? There's other muscles at the front of the lower leg as well, but primarily it's the calf muscles that we need to target. And so I think if you're not interested in lifting weights and so on, you can still use your body weight as resistance to do exercises such as the lunge. The lunge exercise doesn't require any equipment. You can do it with barbells or dumbbells, but you can do it just with using your body weight. And when you're developing a leg strength training program, it's just important to remember to work both the front and the back of the thighs. We don't want to have imbalances, which are going to actually start to cause us problems. So for the quads, the muscles at the front of the thigh, the lunges, the squats, step ups, climbing stairs, all good exercises, and deadlifts and leg raises, all these sorts of things can be done for the hamstring muscles as well. But for the calf muscles, and that was really important for the question that came from our listener last week, standing raises where you're rising on your toes, holding at the top of the movement, then lowering your heels back to the floor, they activate the calf muscles. Often they're a stubborn muscle group to work, but as you say, there's great variability in the community. Some large calf muscles, others small, and there are some people respond differently to training as well. But I think once you get there are different variations of these sorts of exercises. You can do them standing or you can do them seated. But once you've got that foundation of leg strength, Pav, you may want to start to incorporate dumbbells and barbells and those sorts of things, leg exercise machines. We can get there. Yeah, we just have to start off very slowly.
Can you do? I mean, most people are trying to get a smaller bum. Is there any exercises you can give me to give me a bigger one? Because I think I'm a bit short in the glute department there, Gordon, and keep getting told I haven't got an ass.
very good. And often we're talking about we want to lose weight. There are people that struggle to gain mass, and there are and there are ways we can train differently. Squats, traditionally they're exercise, and you can go at different depths. You can do quarter squats, you can do half squats, you can do three quarters, and sometimes if you're very good, you can do full squats. But that often is required joint mobility, flexibility, which we sometimes lose as we get older. So we've got to start off slowly.
But I've got to read you this text from Anthony. He says, my dad is 90 and he does squats when he can. And it's been great for him. So there you go.
Isn't that great?
Sounds like I better do some squats. Look, if you want to talk to Gordon, give us a ring, 1-300-800-222. If you've got a question about your fitness and about your exercise regime, 1-300-800-222 is the number to call. And you can text in, of course, on 0437-774-774. Just wanted to say g'day quickly to Bron and Keith Burton, who are listening to us in the morning. They're driving on the way down to Cairns Airport to fly out to Sydney because they're heading off on a cruise to the South Pacific to celebrate their 60th birthdays.
Good on you,
Bron and Keith. Have a great trip. They're lovely, Bron and Keith. Know them personally. So you make sure you have a good trip, you too, all right? Get back safely to us. But look, if you want to talk to Gordon and ask him a question, 1-300-800-222 is the number to call. 1-300-800-222 or text 0437-774-774.
The bushfire danger rating system is the same no matter where you are in Australia. For warnings near you, go to the ABC Emergency website and listen to your emergency broadcaster, ABC Radio.
1-300-800-222. We're with Professor Gordon Lynch this morning, and we're talking about health and fitness. He's talking about the importance of leg strength. If you're someone who has strong legs, then give us a ring and tell us what your trick was. If you're someone who has skinny legs like me, and you might need a bit of weight on them, you can ring as well and get some advice. Look, here goes. A text says, could you please ask Gordon which are the best exercises for strength when we have osteoporosis?
Yeah, so I mean, it depends, of course, Pav, where the osteoporosis is striking us, and if the bones are weakening, we don't want to do exercises which are going to aggravate the problem.
So, I've got another text here. Could you ask Gordon if you can play tennis when you have osteoporosis?
Yeah, so it depends on the degree. So it's a broad term, and different areas of the body may be affected. It could be the wrists, it could be the hips, it could be the lower back, it could be different things. So you've got to think, well, which exercises are going to be suitable and which exercises need to be avoided? Because it's all well and good to say, oh, you need to do more exercise, but you don't want to do something which is going to aggravate the osteoporosis. So it depends on your GP or your specialist who's working with you to think which ones you can do. So if you've got lower back and you've got problems with the osteoporosis there, it's no point doing bent over exercises where you may be putting strain on those areas. So, I mean, my standard thing about bone issues and other things, strengthening bones is really important. And you can still, you know, with certain medications and other things, reform certain bones. Exercise is going to be an important part of that. Load-bearing exercises. But again, the type of load-bearing is going to be really important. And it's going to be specific to your osteoporosis and where it's affecting you compared to someone else. So different exercises are going to be suitable. I often think that, you know, if we think about swimming exercises, they're great, but they're not going to be necessarily loading bones. I mean, we have to be sensitive about how we do that loading, because we need to get the bone formation program happening, which is, you know, stimulating that thing, and that's with exercise. But we also need to protect the joints as well, because we don't want to have further aggravation of the bones as the bones are becoming porous, becoming brittle, becoming weaker, and the exercises that we may be doing may be actually making it worse, and we don't want that to happen.
Look, I've got a lot of texts here that are coming in. Exercise bands, are they good for leg strength, just quickly?
Yes, absolutely. So resistance comes in all forms. So we can do body weight resistance, but then we can step it up into using resistance bands, and they come in different sort of resistances in terms of the different coloured bands have more resistance than others. And then we can graduate further as we go and incorporate resistance bands into our training program, definitely.
Roger says, what are the effects of statins on muscle in older people? I'm 79 and feel muscle fatigue in the legs and somewhat unstable.
Yeah, so statins, there's been a long history. Some people are affected more than others. Some aren't affected at all by statins, and some affected a lot. Fatigue is one of those symptoms that some people face, and it could be dose related. It could be related to the type of statin. So they're different. They come in different varieties, and so that may be simply consulting with your GP or your specialist to change the statin that you're using and using another different type. Or it could be the type of exercises that we're doing we can start to incorporate. So you may be starting to feeling fatigue, and therefore you say, I can't do any exercise. And you become actually more fatigued because you're losing fitness. Yeah. And we need to redress that, and we need to do that sensibly. So I'd still check with your GP or specialist first about the sort of statin you're using, because you can change. But it's also thinking exercise can help with that fatigue. And we can actually, I've done this before, we can talk about statins and muscle as well, because it's a big topic.
Right. Sarah says, I've been doing yoga for years. I think it's a great way to strengthen legs if people don't like a gym environment. I think the benefits of yoga have been well documented. And Gordon, you've spoken about it yourself plenty of times.
Especially for that balance as well. So you've got strength and you've got balance in different postures. That's going to be really important for activating those muscles. Legs, it could be upper body as well. So very good exercise. Incorporated as part of a general program. Definitely, Bev. Right.
Wendy's call from Anglesey. Hi, Wendy.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm just asking about my Achilles tendon, because years ago I did snap my left one, and now I'm getting some pain in the right one. Yep. I'm wondering what you should suggest I could do there.
Yeah, very, very important that you get that checked, because we can be talking about different leg exercises which are going to be loading up that tendon, which is such an important one for our movement, and we don't want to be aggravating that. So what I'm saying, Wendy, in terms of strengthening leg exercises, it's strengthening those tendons as well, but it has to be done in a careful fashion. And we need to start off pretty slowly, but you need to get that checked from your GP or your specialist first, and then we can start to think about how we incorporate some of these exercises, which will strengthen the tendons, which, you know, muscles are attached to tendons, which move bones, which allow us to move. If we don't have that tendon attachment, we're in strife. So I think it's really important to get that checked first.
Very, very
then
painful.
Then we can do the program.
Very
oh, absolutely.
Too. Good luck, Wendy, with that.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks. Sue said, look, I've lost strength in legs and overall due to lower back and now serious neck problems. I'm 64 years old and having trouble finding a form of exercise and strength training that won't upset these issues. Have you got any thoughts for Sue?
I do. And I think there's a tendency, Sue, and for many other listeners that may have different parts of the body, if they think they're failing them, and so they tend to say, oh, I better not do any exercise because I might get worse. Well, the fact is that if you don't do exercise, it might get worse as well. So it's thinking about what's sensible for you and doing a program of exercise which is slowing down the rate at which this decline is happening. So in many cases, that can be reversed if it's a good exercise program. The body responds accordingly. But we have to be sensible about how we prescribe it. And so depending upon which area of the body that Sue may be affected by, we can do certain exercises which can address that, but it has to be done properly. And there could be medications that could be required. It could be other things. And that's where you're working with your medical specialist team, also with a physiotherapist, may be advised in this case.
Look, there are so many texts here, Gordon, and phone calls now. We're probably not going to get to too many more. I'm sorry to all those people who sent in. Look, Gordon is with us once a week, so he will be back next week and be able to deal with a lot of those questions then. So hopefully you'll be able to put them to him then. Paul, g'day, mate.
G'day, Pep. How you going, Gordon?
Good. What do you say?
I've got a physio plan for me physio, and I do it a minimum of an hour, Saturday and Sunday, and the doctor sort of do it three times a week, half an hour. So am I getting any better just doing a pocket sport?
It's a good question, Paul. And often we've got to fit exercise into our busy lives. And there's another group of sort of people that work on the weekends only. So we've got weekend warriors versus those that can do exercise at any time of the week. And it's been shown, Paul, that if you can fit in your exercise on the weekend, it can also have many benefits, in many cases the same benefits if you're working throughout the week. It's just fitting in that exercise. What I would say, though, is often with exercise, you need that period of recovery following the training. So if you're working hard doing the exercise, I often would recommend that next day to be the rest period to allow the body to recover from the stimulus that you've given it to, and that's where the adaptation happens. So if you can modify that, but if you have to, you can modify your exercise program to do it on the weekends, and there's still a benefit to be had. So it's a being opportunistic, Paul. If you can and get that extra day's rest or so, that would be preferable for me. But if you can still squeeze it in, I think you're still going to get the benefit.
Definitely. Paulie, good on you. Beth in Sunbury. Hi, Beth.
Oh, hi. How you going, guys?
Good, thanks. What did you want to ask?
Yes, I was in hospital and I got proximal quadriceps myopathy, mm-hmm. and which is exactly what you were talking about. And I've had 12 months of physiotherapy, and I've got lots of muscle mass decrease replaced by fat, and I'm having difficulty recovering.
Having a bit of trouble recovering there, Gordon.
Yeah, that's Beth. I'm sorry to hear that. Is it this? You know, often this is called ICU acquired weakness, and there's something happening within that inflammatory episode when you're in the hospital, and we're not sure why it's causing that damage to the muscle. We think it's a neuromuscular problem, so how the muscles are activated, what allows them to be preserved, and that's where if we're losing muscle and it gets replaced by fat, it becomes difficult to remove. But exercise can help, and it needs to be done. I think you've mentioned with the physiotherapy, I think you just got to stick with it, because over time that can be restored. But this is a common problem, Beth. Many people face that problem, and it's a long term. It's not just you simply get out of hospital and it's fine. There could be a period of recovery, and exercise is part of that. We need to do it. I just wish you all the best and hope you can get back to a good sense of where you were before. I hope so.
Good luck, Beth.
Exercise. Yeah. How many times a week should I be doing exercise?
Yeah, so I think that your physio should be advising specifically for you. But if we can do exercise at least a couple of times a week, a focused program of exercise, walking out the things to supplement that, that's the way to go. And then we can step it up a little bit more. But it's done in consultation, Beth, with your physio to make sure it's suitable for how your muscles have been affected and how we can get them restored ideally. It's maybe a bit of work to do ahead, but I think if you're motivated to do that, the exercise can certainly help.
Good luck with that one, Beth. Look, Gordon, unfortunately, we've run out of time. Look, I've still got about 20 texts, people making inquiries here, and a few people on the line as well. So
if they can get back next week, we'll get onto those as well as soon as we can.